just a day away from the PGA Championship getting underway. We are thrilled to welcome on our next guest. Bob Herrick does an amazing job and has so many connections. My goodness. I mean, you look at everything he's accomplished in his career and covering the PGA Tour. It's just incredible. And wrote an amazing, amazing book, Tiger and Phil, the golf's most fascinating rivalry. So, Bob, I don't know who better in the entire world than to have on leading up to a major championship, knowing the storylines that are going in to Southern Hills this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, who'd imagine we'd be talking about this, these guys in the current tense at this right. point, even as much has been happening with both of them in recent months. So, yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. I want to start with Phil, and it's strange because I usually try to focus on what's actually going to happen this weekend. I don't like the drama that's surrounding Phil. I just don't. I know some people that are loosely connected to Phil that have always praised just what type of guy he is. Very generous. One of which worked with him very closely for a long time. And I'm kind of amazed with how he's been portrayed. I think he's greedy, and I think he loves money, and I think he got into some financial problems. But I do feel like he has been characterized in a way that is somewhat unfair. Help us understand what's gone on the last couple months.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of it, frankly. I mean, it just seems like it's gone too far to me. He obviously what he said about the tour was harsh. I understand why they would be upset.
Sure.
I understand why they're upset if he was actually sort of in concert with the LIV Golf people to try to set up a new league. I mean, it would be like, you know, I mean, I don't know, just take any of us in our jobs. If you guys are talking to a rival station and giving them a game plan as to how to better compete with your station, that's not going to go over very well. And that's kind of what he was doing. You know, he was talking to Greg Norman, how could this league be better? You know, I don't think Phil was suggesting that the league would replace the PGA Tour. It was going to be an alternative. And you know, that's the side of it where I kind of like, why are not people recognizing that? Don't we all want to take advantage of opportunity if it's given? And in golf, unfortunately, the top players are not compensated. There's no guarantees on the course, and that's unlike any other sport. You know, there's not guaranteed money at golf tournaments unless if there's a few events overseas where there's an appearance fee. And I think the name players, the big value guys have believed for a long time that they're the ones bringing the eyeballs, they're the ones bringing the sponsors, they're the ones selling the tickets. And yet on Thursday morning, they start out just like everybody else, zero. No money. If they don't make the cut, they don't get paid. And they might have helped bring in a lot of people. So I get that part of it. And I, you know, so like, and this is where we are. It's that bad that he can't play in these majors and that he can't celebrate his accomplishments. And obviously the source of the money is a big issue. But let's say it were Bill Gates putting up the money. You know, I still think it would be disruptive. But would he be going through this as much as he is? I'm not sure.
Bob Herrick of ESPN joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline at Bob Herrick. Follow him on Twitter. His book, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, available at Amazon now. Staying with Phil for one more question, Bob. Where does this end? How does this end? When do things normalize for Phil Mickelson as it pertains to the PGA Tour again?
Well, I think we're going to find out very soon. He had asked for a release to play in that first LIV golf event outside of London next month. It's the week before the U.S. Open. If he goes through with that, my guess is it's going to be a very tough road for him back to the PGA Tour. They've said that they're not going to give releases. While some guys might do it anyway, I think there will be a different level of punishment depending on how much you are involved in that. But, you know, given what we know about Phil, I don't know that they are going to allow a way back for him. And then the next question is does he attempt to play the U.S. Open the very next week? You know, the U.S. Open is not under the umbrella of the PGA Tour. They like to tout themselves as the most democratic of majors, you know, the most open. If you and I, if our handicap is low enough, we're allowed to go try and qualify. If we qualify, we get in. And they have a long list of qualifications. You know, there's only probably out of the 150-some guys, there's probably only 50 or 60 players exempt. You know, almost 100 get in through other ways. Phil's exempt. His PGA win last year gave him a five-year exemption into the U.S. Open. So are they going to say no to a guy because they don't like his opinion? You know, as harsh as it was, as maybe as damaging as it was in some eyes. But those 2 weeks, to me, are going to determine a lot going forward. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see it play out.
When you think about, like I agree with you completely. I feel like the PGA Tour has kind of rallied the troops and said, we're going on the assault against Phil Mickelson. It just feels like some of the things that have been said are borderline slanderous. And I don't think anything he said was right. I totally disagree with his whole approach in this whole deal. I totally get that. But, man, some of it, it's like they're just destroying a legacy of a guy that helped build the tour. It's like I just have a difficult time with it. As we transition.
Well, and then when you throw in the fact that he, you know, he contends that the most egregious of the comments were not said on the record. Now, look, we can argue about how stuff like that goes down. You've dealt with media before. You know, there's a by-the-book way, and then there's sort of the real-world way. And, you know, Phil made a huge mistake in not making sure that that conversation was off the record. If all this was what he said about originally into Golf Digest about the tour's obnoxious greed, you know, that's a harsh assessment of things, but it's not something you can't overcome. You know, and so you're right. It is kind of amazing to me that a guy who's been so popular, you know, look, there's a lot of guys out there that we disagree with their views on certain things. It doesn't mean we like them less as a sports person, but yet you're right. He's just been piled on. It's been, it's really been a remarkable turn of events here, especially when you consider what just happened 1 year ago for him to get to this position with such a great victory.
Do you think he sat this week out because he was concerned about the potential scrutiny and the lingering discussion about whether or not he should play? Like, why did he sit this out?
Yeah, I don't get that one myself. I think it might be more. I mean, first of all, he would have had no problem sitting down in front of the media. It would have been a great, probably, cleansing for him. He could have maybe apologized for some things. He could have explained himself. He could have fallen on his sword in a few ways. He could have said, look, you know, I shouldn't have hammered the PGA Tour the way I did. I should not have said those things. But, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks that the tour could do better. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, I looked into this alternative league. I think they have some ideas that make sense. You know, and who in any walk of life doesn't look to improve their financial status? That's what I was doing. You could say that and probably be okay. Not everybody's going to agree. He could even dismiss the Saudi part of it. That has happened throughout sports, frankly. You know, you could argue that the tour's conflicted in other ways. They have interests in China and Mexico, which have their human rights issues, too. I'm not trying to condone Saudi. I'm just trying to construct an argument that can be made. And so that part of it doesn't make sense to me. Is he worried about his peers? Well, you know, you show up an hour before your tee time, you run in and out of the locker room, you hit balls to warm up, you go play. You don't have to really interact with them if you don't want to. So I'm wondering if it was more just he mentally didn't feel that he could get his game to the point to play out here, and he certainly doesn't want to embarrass himself. You know, I mean, after all of this, the last thing he wants to do is go out there and shoot 78, you know, so, and he hasn't played more than 3 months, and maybe that was too much to ask.
Was it too much to ask of Tiger to play another practice round with Phil after he lost $500 to him in 1998 and Phil wrote a note in his locker that said the Benjis were enjoying their new home after he took the 500 from Tiger. And Tiger somehow miraculously ended up not being paired with him for a practice round for the next 20 years.
I think that maybe that could have simmered for a year or two, but the thing that kept going on for a lot longer than that is kind of amazing. I'm not sure it had to do with that specifically, but it is sort of interesting that it took them 20 more years before they played another practice round. And I think there was more to it than that. You know, Tiger was never into playing practice rounds intensely for the money, you know, for the gambling purposes, and Phil loved that. He loved the action because he thought it hardened him. It made him, it helped him prepare for the tournament. And Tiger liked to practice by himself. He liked to hit a lot of chip shots around the greens. He's doing now, like he does to prepare here at the PGA. So they were completely different in that regard. They were different in a lot of ways, you know. And frankly, that's why I think it made for an interesting book, because their careers paralleled so much, but yet they were different people, different players. They had their moments of, you know, pettiness, tension, and here it continues today. It's really kind of amazing.
When we talk about Tiger's comeback, obviously it's difficult to quantify, and nobody knows better than you, having written the book on both Tiger and Phil. I mean, I don't know if anybody in the world, outside of maybe Nota McGay, knows more about Tiger Woods than you. It's pretty amazing. When you think about his ability to contend this week, I think it's impossible. Just with the course this long, with the approach shots this long, with the just the lack of sheer competitive rounds he's played, I don't see him being a player this week. I think in a U.S. Open, sure. In a PGA, when short game is maximized, sure. At Augusta, where it's all mental, sure. But this week, I have a difficult time. Does he have the horsepower to contend this week at Southern Hills?
Yeah, I think you've kind of laid that out the most, you know, realistic way. There's just too much going against him. And it's too much to ask. I mean, I would never say never, but, you know, it's I think making the cut again like he did at Augusta, and it's going to be harder to make the cut here than it was at the Masters. So if he does it here, it's a better accomplishment. That's what you got to be looking at. And then the next step after that is improving on the third round. You know, obviously he didn't play well on the weekend at the Masters. He was running out of gas. The weather was poor. Very cold. That didn't help. You know, here, if he could make the cut, now maybe you've got something to build on. Okay, let's try to improve on Saturday. Let's see if we can sustain it longer. You know, he talked yesterday about being frustrated that his stamina just wasn't better, you know, and maybe now 5 weeks later it is. You know, he's had that much more time to build up, but it's a lot to ask to contend. I mean, you know, look at just since the Masters, you know, Jordan Spieth's played twice. Just about everyone has played at least once. He doesn't have the competitive reps that you need to, and that's going to be a problem going forward. So, I think right now is too soon. I think, you know, a year from now, if when we've given him some time to really have ramped up, and you're hoping that he can keep improving, then maybe we can talk about him contending, because he's still got the skills. Still an amazing player, still, you know, amazing ball striker, still great around the greens. It's just that the walking part of it does mean a lot in golf. It really does.
Bob Herrig of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. His book, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, Tiger and Phil, is out now. You can catch yours at Amazon, and we're discussing it on the Bud Light Hotline. Staying with the tournament this weekend at Southern Hills, Bob, you brought up some of the old names. Do you think it will be a regular character that gets this win, a Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or do we see maybe a young gun kind of get one of their first wins, say a Maverick McNealy, somebody like that, who can pop up and steal this tournament from some of the old vets?
I wouldn't be surprised if the latter occurred, just because the field's so deep, and this has sort of been known as the major where a lot of first timers, you know, come through. You know, Colin Morikawa got a first major a couple years ago. Before Brooks Koepka had won a major before he won his two PGAs. So Jimmy Walker won a first major. It's where Jason Day won his. It's because it's the major that's the most like a tour event. It's kind of the U.S. Open light. No, I don't think it's going to be easy, but I don't think it'll play as hard as U.S. Opens typically do. And so I think that brings more people in. And we talked about some of the bigger names, but there's a lot of names that I think could contend. And certainly I think you might see some surprises on the leaderboard as we get going.
Bob, this has been amazing. I just ordered your book a second ago in the last answer, so you have to apologize if I didn't catch any of it. I just ordered it off Amazon, and I expect next time I see you, I need a signed copy. I'm going to have you sign it for me. This was terrific, and there's very few people that I love more than Tiger Woods, and there's very few people I'm more fascinated by than Phil Mickelson. So I really can't wait to dive in and read your book that's out now.
I appreciate that. You just sent the Amazon ranking soaring. Thank you so much.
I only bought one copy. I should have bought multiple. I apologize. No, I'll buy more next time.
It pushed it over the edge. I appreciate it. Now, thanks for the time, guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Bob Herrick joining us here has done an amazing job covering golf, both on SI and now with ESPN. Of course, has that book out.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.